You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill will be back in a moment. Jamie Noodles McLennan. Brian Windhorst from ESPN will join us in about 25 minutes. And I've noticed online, Brian's been talking a lot about the draft lottery last night.
Yep.
And this idea that Zion Williamson, it's unlikely, but he could technically return to Duke. Like, he could go back to college, and that would be...
That'd be a spicy meatball. Like, I wouldn't want to do that, too, though, because you risk injury, you risk all of that. Like, you're leaving money on the table immediately.
Definitely. He dodged a bullet this season. Remember when he blew his shoe out?
Yes.
And almost blew his knee out.
Yeah.
And it did not derail his season completely. He came back from the tournament, and he's still going to go first overall. But you're playing with fire if you go back to college.
Didn't Nike's... It was a Nike, right? Didn't the stock drop a little bit that day?
It did, yeah.
I remember because people were like, oh, these shoes are faulty. Sorry,
I think
faulty.
It was Paul George's shoe, and this is how ridiculous the world is, that Paul George had to personally, like...
Endorse it or whatever.
Well, speak on behalf of the shoe, but he's probably thinking, man, you realize I don't manufacture the shoe. Like,
I just make a lot of money to wear it.
Right. They pay me, and they say, this is the shoe, and that's the shoe I wear. I don't know what to tell you on that. But Paul George had to explain what went down with the faulty shoe. But, yeah, and I think there's an element of karma there. You know, you're putting yourself in a weird position with the NBA. They would not be happy. You know, he has the right to do it, but, you know.
That's why, if he decides, like, I don't want to play there, that could be some trouble. And it would be bad optics for the NBA.
Brutal. Because, you talk about the four options.
Right.
That were available last night. L.A. and New York, the two biggest markets in the United States.
Yeah.
Two franchises with the richest of histories, but recent histories have been debacles.
Right.
Now, the Lakers are a bit further ahead of the Knicks, but not much.
No, with what's going on. With, that's it.
They got LeBron, but with what's going on with Ty Lue and him leaving and Jeannie Buss and the ownership, it's a disaster in L.A. Does that Magic Johnson just pulls the chute out of nowhere?
He's like, I'm out.
I'm just not coming back. I'm done. And the Knicks, we know their story.
Yeah.
So those two options were there for the NBA, and instead it's Memphis and New Orleans that end up with the top two picks. I mean, it's...
You hope that they can, those players can turn it around, but, you know, those marketplaces, they're small marketplaces.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
They're the smallest markets compared to the biggest markets.
Right.
So Brian will join us in about 25 minutes, and we'll get his take on... Not only what went down last night with the draft lottery, but we'll tee up game one tonight, Milwaukee and the Raptors as well. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. went off last night, two home runs, two home runs of his career. Both of them were just rockets. You know, we're goofing around about exit velocity, and that's the hot thing right now in baseball. It was getting a little bit old talking about exit velocity on foul balls and singles and, you know.
Worried is the wrong word, but I was starting to get a little bit like, all right, like, I don't know. As a fan, you're expecting something. Now, he ends up having a couple dingers last night, but leading up to it, I'm like, is this guy ever going to, you know, because you hadn't seen it.
Until you actually see it, yes. You're just, it's being promoted what is a possibility.
Right, the greatest prospect. This could, you know, instantly he moves the needle. Everyone, it's must-see TV. And the guy comes up for 2.5 weeks and really
he's did
had a
nothing.
Couple hits, but he's done nothing.
Yeah, his numbers were terrible. Like, there's no sugarcoating it. Again, I don't care about the exit velocity. The sugar, the numbers were terrible.
Right.
But I think he's too good. He's too talented. I think last night was a big, like a watershed moment for him because now he can get the monkey off his back and move on, hopefully, with his career. And, you know, I was thinking about it last night watching him. And we've been talking a lot about Kawhi, obviously. And this is really tied to Kawhi because he gives the city the best chance, I think, of any of these players.
Right.
But if they can find a way, the Raptors can find a way to re-sign Kawhi Leonard, I think we are entering an era of MVP pursuit in Toronto unlike any other era before, where Donaldson won an MVP a few years ago.
Right.
The Jays have had a couple of pitchers that have won Cy Youngs. The Raptors have never had anybody close.
Right.
No one within legitimate consideration for an MVP.
Right.
Vince was never even that close. Never. Right. The Leafs have not had anybody. Like, Gilmore was close in 93. Sundin was never up for it.
Right. You're talking, like, MVP caliber player.
Yes.
throughout all the sports.
I think so. Like, when you look at it, I think Matthews has a shot at some point in his career to win an MVP. I think Tavares is going to be in a conversation. I think Mitch Marner can be in a conversation.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be favored at any point as long as Connor McDavid is healthy and playing. And if Crosby's still going and Kucherov's still going.
You never know.
But you never know.
Exactly. They're good players, and they can be in the conversation if they have a fantastic year.
Taylor Hall won it 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Great player. But if Hall can win it, Austin Matthews, I think, can win it. If Kawhi returns, he's in the running. This year, I think he'll finish in the top three or four. So if he returns for another 5 years, he's going to be in the conversation with Giannis, with Durant.
Yeah, maybe LeBron has a bounce
LeBron,
back
Harden.
Yeah, you're right.
But he's going to be in the conversation. And I think Vladdy, he's not going to be there in the next 2 or 3 years, I don't think. But in 3 to 5 years, I think he can and will be. If he projects and if he continues molds into the player we think he can be.
People think he's going to be.
Right.
Then yes, he's a special player, and special players are always considered in those major awards because they do special things.
Right. So ideally, all of this comes with championship contention.
Correct.
And again, if Kawhi returns, the Raptors are one of four teams left. And if he returns, they will continue to be a championship caliber team. I think the Leafs are right there. They got to break through the door.
Got to push through the ceiling, and
got to improve in areas. But
they've got at least a base for it, and that's now you build off of that and get to the next level. So you're right. The Leafs are right there. The Raptors are right there.
The Jays are not close.
No,
they're
Jays
not close.
Have to. But baseball, it's a longer path.
And you hope that Bo Bichette comes up and maybe he throws his name into the hat. Not necessarily an MVP type player, but a guy who gives
you. How about
you
spending some money too?
And that
that's
wouldn't
another
hurt.
Thing. Once those kids are ready, you've got to double down with some players and land a big fish.
Absolutely. You need more help. You need
that's what it is.
Vladdy can only get to the plate 4 or 5 times.
Right. Like you need depth. You need the bats. Like you need pitching. Like you're gonna have to spend money. And they've got money. Mm-hmm. It's just the timing of it.
Yes. Everything's gonna have to be aligned, and then when it is time to pounce, you've got to convince people to come up here, which has always been difficult to do.
It's tough.
Based on free agency it is. You can trade, you can acquire for Josh Donaldson was acquired via trade.
Yep.
Edwin Bautista.
But you have to go all in on players. That's what I'm saying. Doubling down, you make big moves so that you have depth to help what you have in place already.
Absolutely. So anyway, I think the short of it is there are two extremes. The Raptors are over here. The Blue Jays are over here. The Maple Leafs are somewhere in the middle, but I think the Leafs are closer to the Raptors than they are the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Because they're a playoff team every year. Yeah, they're one of the top 7 or 8 teams in the league. But it's a positive time in Toronto. And we were going to get to this yesterday.
Right.
Coming off the shot from Sunday night. Monday in the city, a lot of people were comparing the bat flip to the Kawhi Leonard shot.
Yeah.
I figured, we'd all kind of put our heads together and come up with the top 10 positive sporting moments since 2010. Because we're in a positive frame of mind here in Toronto right now.
So it's just Toronto focused. Though.
Just Toronto focused.
So because the golden goal was in Vancouver.
Right. That would be more of a Canadian story as opposed to specifically Toronto. And again, these are positive stories.
Yep.
Because if we're talking about the most talked about or water cooler material, I think being up 4-1 in Boston in 13 would count.
Yeah, there's some negative things. Yeah, there's some negative things. Let's not head down that
way. Anthopoulos leaving, bit negative. So here's our list. We'll start at 10. We'll make our way up. You guys can feel free to chime in on all this.
Absolutely.
And if you agree or you disagree. Top 10 positive Toronto sports stories since 2010. Number 10, Maple Leafs clinching the playoffs against the Pittsburgh Penguins, second last game of the season, 16-17. That's my number 10.
McElhinney
makes that left pad save on Crosby with about 5 minutes left.
Huge. Connor Brown scored the goal. But that post-to-post on Sidney Crosby was unbelievable.
I thought that was the defining save that puts you in the playoffs.
They have one more game after that against Columbus at home?
Next night, we were there in the alumni box.
They lost, though, didn't they?
They lost.
They lost the next night.
Oh, and they lost.
They're up 2-0. They lost 3-2.
Oh, yeah, they had a Saturday, Sunday, back-to-backer at home.
They would have played Ottawa. Instead, they played Washington.
But exactly. And McElhinney had to make that save against Pittsburgh because if they would have lost against Pittsburgh and then lost against
they
Columbus,
missed.
They're out.
Tampa was chasing them.
Yeah.
Florida was chasing them, I think it was.
Yeah, there was heat.
Yes, so that was a big moment. And that was different than in 2013 when they clinched, because that was a lockout year.
Yeah, it was shortened season.
They had a buffer. They were well into it.
Yeah.
This was the new era with Matthews and Marner and Nylander and all the kids.
And they weren't expected to make
it. It wasn't expected to happen. That's number 10. Number 9 was the Blue Jays-Marlins trade back in December of 2012.
Dickey
was after that. This was Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Jose Reyes. Remember, it was the first big deal of that offseason. Then they acquired Dickey, they signed Melky Cabrera, they rehired John Gibbons. But it doesn't feel like it now, and it didn't turn into a positive because it didn't work out. But at the moment, it was huge because Anthopoulos and the Jays were finally committing to spending money.
Yeah, they were moving and shaking at that time, and it's like, okay, they're getting some guys here
that are going to do something.
Yeah. And established veteran players. And you're not talking about a rebuild. And
We were just talking about that.
I was jacked about that.
It was a huge story. Like, it should maybe be higher because, again, it's 7 years removed and it didn't work out. But at
although
the time,
wasn't Johnson the wild card that didn't really turn out to
he
be?
He was brutal. He was a gas can. He got injured, but
he was really a gas can.
It was.
But that's what, going back to Vladdy, just before you came, I was saying, once Vladdy stabilizes as a superstar, which we think he will, and some of those young kids come up, that's what they've got to do again.
Exactly.
Kind of go and acquire and go all in with some of these players.
And that's what happened. Batista had established himself.
Right.
Edwin, it was like, let's get going here.
Yeah, dig in here.
It was huge. Number 8, Auston Matthews' 4-goal debut. The 8th most positive storyline since 2010.
Yeah.
I thought you would have had Bill Daly flipping over the card.
That's probably going to be higher.
There's still a lot of opportunity.
That's in your top three.
We were in the building for that, I think, too, weren't we?
Oh yeah, we were. I was sitting right here saying they did it.
No, for the 4-goaler.
Oh yeah, we were in Ottawa.
We were in Ottawa.
We were in Ottawa that night. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, he did. They did it. Nailer. It was me and Andy Petrillo down at
Real Sports.
Real Sports.
You were on the panel.
You were on the panel.
Okay, we'll get to that
4-goaler. That just kind of solidified things. It's like, you know what? This guy is a star.
Kid
real
Ryan.
Deal, Holyfield.
Yeah, exactly.
That's number 8. Number 7, I've amalgamated a full week. The David Price, Troy Tulowitzki trade week in 15. Number 7. Remember that? It was Tulowitzki, I want to say, on like July 28th or something like that. And then Price was like 2 days later.
Okay.
And remember that? They were 50-51, and they were a 500 team, but the analytics said they were better than this. And then Tulowitzki gets acquired, and people are like, all right, here we go. And then Price 2 days later, and then they took off from there.
Yeah, it was the ultimate loading up, getting star players like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 6, the Kawhi Leonard trade. Now, the only reason why this is a little bit further down the list is because at the
time,
some
idiots in this city hated it.
Right. A lot of people were like, how do you trade DeMar? Like, forget Kawhi and the concerns that he's going to leave after 1 year.
Well, that's what the biggest noise was. This guy's a superstar, but he doesn't want to play here.
But you know what's coming. You guys know what's coming after this. Like, if he leaves after this year, everyone's going to say, was that shot of him under the glass looking at that ball going in, was it worth it? For 1 year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it's going to be the big question. If they get beaten this series, was watching him watch that go in, the excitement and the comparisons it's drawn with other players, was it worth it for that trade?
Yes, but I understand that will come up.
It's going
to
come up.
We're going to have to talk about
revisionist
if, so let's
history.
Say if, because
if.
They've got a, you know, they got a 50-50 chance against Milwaukee.
Right. Number 5, Edwin's wild card walk-off. That's our boy Kenny Pagan was in the house for that game as well.
For a while. Actually, he was there the whole time. It was after he became public enemy number 1. Remember, he was like,
I think he may have found a trap door.
You got to get Pegs on.
We can. I don't think
it's
he wants to talk
enough.
About
We've
it.
We've asked him. He's
not coming on.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to come on.
He listens to the show.
Oh, you've asked him?
We've issued the invitation on the air, and he listens to the show every day.
I don't think he wants to talk about it, but it's and I think there's probably still some legal stuff, isn't there?
I'm pretty sure that's been
might be some fine print.
Yeah.
Edwin, wild card walk-off, number 5. Number 4, John Tavares signs in Toronto.
First guy to come back that's not 35 years old and has a pro barrel.
Mm-hmm. Legitimately in his prime. Biggest free agent signing in the history of the Maple Leafs, for sure.
No question.
Yep.
And, you know, obviously the expectations were high before that. they were taken to a different level. Number three, draft lottery for Matthews.
Yeah.
I put it ahead of Tavares, or we put it ahead of Tavares, because I don't know if Tavares is here without winning the draft lottery. Like, that's what started everything. People were waiting for a tank and a blow-up and a rebuild. Everyone knew about how spectacular this kid was. Leaf fans had missed out on the lottery the year before when it went to Edmonton with McDavid. And
it was a dignified tank that paid off.
Right.
The ultimate dignified tank. They lost every game 2-1, but at least they lost them.
Absolutely. Make sure you lose and give yourself the best chance of winning it. And it was obviously when they got it, everyone knew they were taking Matthews, and that was going to be your superstar.
Yeah.
Number two, bat flip, Jose Bautista, game 5, ALDS, 15. I think that goes without saying. I mean, you guys might have that ahead of Kawhi. We'll get to number one in a second. But
I think people in other cities, Boston is an extreme example. But they must be listening, saying, "Man, not a whole lot of winning." You know what I mean?
Like, we're talking about the bat flip in the
ALDS.
A guy in a winning city must be thinking, "Listen to these losers."
Right. Well, number
they're
one,
they're talking about a draft lottery.
Yeah, a draft lottery, a signing, a trade. Clinching the playoffs.
A game 81 in a season.
Clinching the playoffs is number 10 in the past decade.
Yeah.
And Kawhi number one.
The shot from Sunday night.
In the second round.
We
should punk ourselves and get a Boston radio guy on to give us his list tomorrow.
Just to make us sick.
You got to do it. Go with just Ortiz and Brady and...
They could have a top 10.
25 deep.
Of just the Patriots, they could have a top 10. Just the Pats.
Yeah. If any listener wants to gross us out, come up with your own Boston list to really put us to shame.
No, because there's that kid with the sign. And you guys know me.
I'm the worst kid in the world.
I'm non-biased whatsoever, but even that annoys me because it's rubbing everyone's face into it. Isn't the kid like 12?
Oh, yeah. I've been to this many parades.
Yeah.
So there's your list. Again, Kawhi, the shot from Sunday night, is number one. The bat flip, number two. Leafs winning the Matthews draft lottery, 3. Tavares, 4. Edwin's walk-off in the wild card, 5. DeRozan traded for Leonard at 6. Jay's trade for Price and Tulowitzki in the same couple of days at 7. Matthews' 4-goal debut at 8. Jay's Marlins trade from 2012 at 9, in the Leafs clinching the playoffs.
Dude, I'm sorry. I looked at that list, and it's a great list, but it's almost sad.
It is. Well, you're right. It speaks to the Toronto sports scene. Those are the 10 most positive stories since 2010. Now, some people might say...
Think about the Edelman catch against Atlanta for the...
I know.
The Patriots.
How about 28-3? They were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, and they came back and won.
You can put that one moment against that 10, and it blows it out of the water.
I would sell that 10 for that one moment.
Yeah. They wouldn't take it, though.
No, of course they wouldn't.
We were in your basement. That was against Seattle, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't the 28-3. That was the Falcons.
The Pete Carroll.
Yes, that was didn't pass it to Marshawn Lynch. That was the Malcolm Butler pick. That alone. I would trade every Toronto moment for one championship.
Me too.
Yeah,
of the big three, Raptors, Leafs, and
Blue Jays.
But
those moments are quite thin, and it's just a decade.
Right. It is just a decade. Now, the Donaldson trade was not in there. You could argue it should be.
Right.
Mike Babcock being hired, maybe it should be.
There's some things that I think you can pull out that, but you're right. It's easy to put it up against Boston, but put it up against other cities too, though.
Buffalo. Bring it, Buffalo. Ralph Kruger's number 10. Ralph Kruger being hired today is number 10.
Could be.
Ronnie Rolston, 7. Hiring Ronnie Rolston.
the brother, how about the brothers riding the bike in Buffalo?
The Ryans.
Rex.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, a lot of people are writing in saying, what about TFC? Guys, no. I'm sorry. Yeah. That was an incredible run. They won the championship.
Ignorant. What about you got Argos?
Yeah, the Argos have won multiple great cups over the past 10 years.
TFC and the Argos.
I don't think it's on the same level as the Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays. In terms of the city in general water cooler material, it's not.
It's not, unfortunately. I mean, they deserve respect, but we were just talking about the three that...
That we talk about.
Yeah, basically. To be honest. Effectively, it's...
we're not trying
revolving
to
around our own show. Listen, yeah. That was unbelievable. We talked about it. We loved it. It was great to see.
But Andy's husband was a part of it.
There you go. Shout out to Andy.
Yeah, John.
Brad tweeting and saying, this started as a positive top 10 and it switched to a negative real quick.
Well, it was positive because it's...
Well, it was going on and on, and I'm thinking, man, there's nothing like... winning the ultimate prize moments.
And no, we are going to hear it from Argos and TFC fans. They are going to go medieval on this list.
We just put it out there as
we'll get
a disclaimer.
On tomorrow.
As a disclaimer. We've got to give love to the CFL. Got to give love to TFC.
Okay.
But we just
Ricky
did a
Ray
list for those three.
In studio.
Do you think in Boston, their top 10, they're including the New England MLS team?
The New England Crunch.
Right. I don't think it's happening.
Anyway. No, we were just talking about the Big Three.
Big Three in Toronto. There you go. Qualifier.
That'll just piss people off.
No, oh, people won't be happy. Listen. Well, someone will say, what about The Rock? The Rock have won titles in
the
past decade.
Too.
Shout out to The Rock.
Got to give them as much love.
Right.
But,
Varsity Blues, you know, everybody's included. Everyone has to be included in 2019.
Yeah.
That's what's been concluded.
Participation badges for
everyone. That's right. All right, Brian Windhorst from ESPN will join us. What's going to happen with Zion Williamson? Is he going to go to New Orleans? Is Anthony Davis still going to get traded? And we'll get his take on game one tonight, Milwaukee Raptors. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, game one tonight in Milwaukee. Raptors, Bucks, we're teeing that up throughout the afternoon. Looking forward to it. Golden State, they put on a clinic last night. Portland, they're in trouble. Needless to say, they're in trouble. We support chaos on this show because chaos is great for content.
Yes.
So we're kind of hoping that Zion Williamson says, either I'm going back to Duke or I'm just not going to New Orleans. Not going to happen. Find a way to get me out of there, or I'll go back to college if I have to.
I totally respect that Eric Lindros-type decision. You've got one career, maybe 10 years if you're lucky. Go where you want to play.
Maybe that's a Jerry After Dark question.
It could be. Here's Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Brian, what are the chances Zion hooks us up with chaos here and doesn't end up in New Orleans?
I don't know. The difficult thing with reading him is he's not been very vocal. He didn't seem like he was thrilled with the results last night. And the big challenge here is he hasn't signed with an agent. You know, typically in a scenario like this, the agent would do the speaking for him. And, you know, on one hand, he hasn't signed with an agent, so we don't know. On the other hand, he hasn't signed with an agent, so all of his opportunities are going back, are open. I don't quite understand why he hasn't done a shoe deal yet. You know, typically, even though we're in a very global market, you're better off in a big market with a shoe deal than in a small market. So if you don't know where you're going, typically you do the deal before the lottery. You know, LeBron sort of pioneered that almost 20 years ago. I was very surprised he hadn't done it. I mean, the ideal time to do a shoe deal for him would have been in the commercial when New York and L.A. were on the board, you know, and they were, you know, with the finalists. But I'm a little bit unclear with the way he's chosen to go about this so far. So it's a difficult read for me. You know, he's a Southern kid. You know, he's his high school class, I think, was 30 kids. You know, his family's been very protective of him. We don't know a lot about him, so it's difficult to read. But, you know, there will be some people in the situation who would try to make a power play, but I don't know enough about him to be sure.
What kind of a how different is his life going to be? I mean, I know Tim Duncan was kind of not a flashy guy, but he was in San Antonio for the longest time, and you never really saw that many Tim Duncan commercials. How different is this going to be for this kid? New Orleans, like, he must have been sitting there thinking, I'm going to take the Knicks back to the promised land, and now he's in New Orleans. Like, just shoe deals, endorsements, all of it.
It depends on what his priority is. I mean, for most kids who have uncertainty, you know, he's not a millionaire yet. He's going to be a millionaire, but he's not a millionaire yet. And I would think that just about everything that is going on in his mind right now would relate to his shoe deal, because the shoe deal is everything. He's going to be potentially tens and tens of millions, maybe in excess of $50 million. And that shoe deal is so important because that protects you against everything. That buys you the ability to make other decisions. It protects you and your family for the rest of your life before you even get drafted. And so to me, the shoe deal is everything. And if the shoe deal is everything, your market is everything. And so, especially since they have now let this lottery happen before the shoe deal, It's a mystery, but I don't know him well enough to be able to say, oh, yeah, this is what's most important to him, and he'll do A, B, or C. And that's what's causing everybody pause right now, is the uncertainty.
We have Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Now we know the Knicks will pick third. The Lakers moved way up. They've got the fourth pick. The belief is both teams have an appetite for acquiring Anthony Davis. Now that we know where they stand on the draft board, of those two teams, the Knicks and the Lakers, who do you think has a better shot at getting Anthony Davis?
Well, I would never say never, but I don't think the Lakers have a good chance at all. I just don't think that the Pelicans want to make a deal with LA. If they had a really super compelling asset, like a great young player or the number one pick, maybe they could change their minds, but they don't have the number one pick. And even worse for LA, New Orleans has it. You know, they can't even offer them an improved draft pick. Meanwhile, I talked to scouts. I'm not a college basketball guy, so I'm not going to rely on my opinion. But I talk to scouts, and they tell me that the draft breaks at 3. You want to be in the top 3. After that, there's a slide. So even though the Lakers did very well and moved up, and they will probably be able to get a good guy who can be a solid piece going forward, that pick has less value, whether it's true or not. The perceived value of 4 versus 3 is pretty significant. And I actually think it was a great night for New York. It wasn't the greatest night of all time. They didn't get Zion. But not only did they get a better pick than the Lakers, and they are in position to make a better offer, in my opinion, but Boston, the other team that would be involved in a bidding war for Anthony Davis, had their trade package worsened. People are not paying attention to this. That Memphis pick could have gone to Boston, but because it moved up to number 2, it does not go to Boston. And so that's one less piece of ammunition that the Celtics have to offer in a package for Anthony Davis. So, all the signals coming out of New Orleans are that the Pelicans are not yet convinced that they're going to move him. But if and when they reach that position, I think New York's got a really compelling offer.
Ryan, this is one of the last times we're going to be able to ask you about the Kawhi remaining in Toronto. I think the fan base they're kind of tricking themselves into believing that the farther they go, the better opportunity that there's going to be, or the better chance that he does stay. Yeah, what's the latest on that?
Where's the hypnosis to get inside Kawhi's head?
So it's just nobody knows.
I'd love to give you an answer that would sound great. It would make me sound really smart, but sometimes you just say you don't know, you know. And the one thing I'll say about it is, he's really not, as far as I know, he's not really talking to outside his very close inner circle. So I would almost, at this point, unless it comes from him or his uncle/agent, I would almost completely disregard it and enjoy this opportunity. I know that it's difficult. Trust me, as somebody who's trailed LeBron for a lot of his career, I can understand why it's hard to lose sight of the moment. But this is what I said to fans in Cleveland last year. I said it to fans in Miami before that. Enjoy this. Stop worrying about what's going to happen in the future and enjoy the moment that's ahead of you.
Well, people certainly were on Sunday night. It was a remarkable game for Kawhi, and, you know, biggest shot in franchise history. First time there's been a walk-off on a Game 7 moment like that in NBA history. And now they set their sights on Milwaukee, and the Bucks have been the most consistent team in the NBA all year. They've cruised through 2 rounds here. They've only lost once. But I understand why they're a favorite. They should be a favorite. But I don't think this is David versus Goliath. You know, I think the Raptors have a real shot here. How do you feel about their chances?
Absolutely. I think a real big point for tonight, but really those first 2 games in Milwaukee, is the Raptors need to try to make it a 6-minute game. And I know that this isn't something that you think of when you think you have a power team, but somehow keep the game within striking distance into the fourth quarter. Because once the game gets late, I think it swings towards the Raptors' advantage. They have great half-court defenders, and they have a better half-court shot maker. Giannis is a tour de force that he is not a half-court shot maker. He really, really relies on up-tempo, getting down the court, and the game slows down. And so, you know, one of the things that people were criticizing the Raptors for was that nobody else was shooting at the end of that game on Sunday. Okay, fair, but guess what was happening? They were defending their behinds off. They were really causing Philly a lot of problems. So I think Milwaukee's greatest weakness is their ability to execute under pressure in the half court. If you can make it that kind of game, at least on the road, that's what you're looking to do, and you're just looking to steal one of the two. I agree Milwaukee's looked great. I agree that they're the favorites for a reason, but I'll also point out that their first two rounds were cupcakes. They played Detroit without Blake Griffin. He's dragging his leg up the court. The series ended, and he had surgery like 15 minutes later. And then in the second round, they played a team that was imploding in on itself in Boston. So they have not seen a team like the Raptors, and I expect it to be highly competitive.
Well, and an interesting angle here is the Mike Budenholzer angle, where it's believed that that was Masai's guy. Like, that's who he was hoping to target. And Budenholzer said, no dice, I'm off the Milwaukee. And he ends up going with Nick Nurse. And Nick Nurse has worked out fine. You know, Nurse has handled the moment very well.
I think they both have.
I think they both have. Exactly. And I guess this is probably a big moment for Budenholzer. I mean, this is why I think he could have had the job in
Toronto.
He was
the first guy reported.
Absolutely. I think he could have had him.
Well,
here.
Remember, I think it's important to realize when Bud left that, remember, he didn't get fired in Atlanta. He asked to come out of his contract. And I think he wanted the Milwaukee job. They even had discussions about doing a trade where Atlanta would get compensation. Milwaukee was not in the mood for doing that. Remember, they had done that before. They traded for Jason Kidd. You may forget that, but they traded for Jason Kidd. And Milwaukee ended up not doing it, but he asked out of his contract with the intention of going to Milwaukee. I think he interviewed in Toronto because I think it was a really good job. And I think he also wanted to cover all his bases. But I think he had his eyes on Milwaukee all the way. I don't think it was an apples-to-apples situation, and with good reason. I think he looked at Milwaukee, saw a megastar player. Remember, they didn't have, you know, Kawhi yet,
right.
I'm fairly certain.
No, they didn't.
And, you know, they didn't have Kawhi yet, and he saw a team that he felt had underachieved, that it wouldn't take as big of a deal to turn them around, that he was correct. But, you know, Bud has had issues in the past with delivering in the postseason. You know, he had a 60-win team that ran up against Cleveland and got swept out, and he really has never gotten past that. He's never gotten back to that height. So we'll see. But, I think Masai feels pretty good with the way the coaching situation went. In all honesty, I don't see any regrets that Masai would have in this season.
No.
No matter what happens with Kawhi, I don't think you can say, well, if they had just done A, B, or C, he might have done differently. I think Nick has done a good job. I think their transactions during the season have been good. I think they're in a great position. That's all you can ask for.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
Here's Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Well, that's the truth. I mean, last year, the Raptors, their roster was drastically different. They had a different head coach. It was all about the bench and, you know, 8-9 players deep.
Right.
Now, with these deals, new coach, it's basically a 6-man rotation. And it's like, let's just play the stars as many minutes as we can. And
dude, winning. Well, we talked about this last year. How often is the bench involved in big-time winning?
Not much.
Yeah. So if you want, it's like saying,
star power's got to do it.
Yeah. Like having a real hunk of crap, hunk of metal in your driveway, and you shine it up. You're like, look at my ride.
No, it's if you've got a bad car.
That was a bad.
That's a bad analogy.
Lipstick on a pig.
Exactly. That's what he's saying. Like, if you.
Yeah, the bad car. Because we like Rick Reiner's with bad cars.
I referenced the Dodge Dart earlier. If you got a Dodge Dart, but it's shined up with a brand new paint job, it's still a Dodge Dart.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say.
I got you.
Just big time winning is not about the bench or anything else.
Well, we were saying that earlier with what the Bruins are up to now, where, you know, their depth players are getting a lot of love, and they should.
Yeah.
Like, they're factoring into outcomes like they did with Game 7 against the Leafs. But ultimately, you know, it goes without saying, without your best players, it doesn't matter who's on your fourth line.
It just helps, though, when you have. If your top line's not going that night and you're getting goals from your third and fourth line, like the difference for me when I look at Boston has been Coyle and Johansson, that third line.
But they're good players. They're like,
very
they're not
good. That's depth, though.
Yes,
that's depth of an organization.
Yep.
And that's guts to make those deals at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Don Sweeney could be up for GM of the year.
Well, Boston's, I mean, they're primed to be, they're going to be competitive for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I know Chara's old, but
right.
Look at the rest of their team.
I don't know if you saw this. There was a graphic last night. I thought it was fantastic. Chara was on the ice for 2:12 of a penalty kill. So 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Had a 30-second break. Went out for a 58-second shift. Had another, like, 38 or 40-second break and went out for another minute-long shift. The guy's 42 years old.
Right. Oh, he's a machine.
He is.
He's Brady. There's something about that market. Like, these old guys, it doesn't...
They didn't even have, like, Boston didn't even really have their total A game, and they still got it out of win. The goalie was fantastic. Their depth guy scored.
Yeah.
Well, look at Pastrnak. Like, he's not dominating.
I didn't even notice him last night.
No.
He had one
Bergeron
shot.
Either.
But he'll show up at some point.
Yes,
and watch
that's
yourself.
The key. That's the whole. That's the whole key
that's
to it all.
Where, when they wrap up the series, that top line will do it. That's the line will do it. They'll put the dagger in.
Well, I think they're
which ultimately I don't think will mean a whole lot because it's going to be a 4-game sweep.
It could be.
I mean, if it was Game 7 and the big line show, you're like, that's why they're the big line. If they get five goals tomorrow. It doesn't have the same effect.
No, because Carolina's just wilting here and saying, take it. But they're going to a cup final. They got a real shot at winning a cup. If let's say they win a cup. Let's actually forget that. Either way.
Okay.
Who do you think is favored in the division next year? Boston or Tampa?
I think Tampa will be favored again.
Yeah.
Again.
Probably. But then you get the mantra like, okay, like Tampa's regular season next year means nothing.
That's
almost like Washington for many years.
Mm-hmm. Because they know how long it's going to take just to get back to that first round again next year. Because that's all people are going to be waiting to see. Nobody cares if they break their record they set last year.
But we actually sat here the whole year. And the Leafs had 105 points 2 years ago. They had 100 this past year. But you're waiting, okay, can they get by the Bruins? Like that's what we were waiting for. And we're going to wait another year till... You know, for them to get to the playoffs and get to the second, try and get to the second round. That's really now they've built a program where you're looking at the regular season, but you aren't. If that makes sense,
absolutely.
And,
like
and
it's
that's
just
good.
It's a formality. You got to play
stability. But. Now that being said, you know some of the mock rosters and stuff like that. Those aren't 110-point teams that are being thrown out. Kyle Dubas has work to do this summer. He's got work to do this summer because I know we're talking about depth. The depth of the Leafs in the third and fourth line isn't as pretty as I would like it to see. Or does that even make sense?
No, I agree
like
with you.
Like to see, sorry. Like
no,
see.
I agree. I mean, I think you got to give them the offseason.
Exactly.
We'll see what else they do. I do think until you see it, you don't know exactly what you have with the Marlies. You know, like they won the Calder Cup last year. They're back
having
in
a nice run. Yep.
You know, there's got to be a couple players down there that you can bring up and play.
But I got a newsflash for you: every player in the Marlies is not the greatest up and coming.
No, I'm not.
Trevor
I'm not
Moore
saying
and
that.
The likes of that.
But I'm saying maybe a full year of Trevor Moore in the fourth line. You're like, wow, that guy can play a Sean Corrali role.
Absolutely.
Like, mate, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that.
But I wouldn't suggest you want 7 or 8 Marlies on your team.
Exactly.
Because if you do, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, you've got to be. They've got to be the right fit for you. And let's see where the Russians settle in. If either one of those two,
Korshkov,
can push through, like there is some depth there.
Korshkov, you love to float out the Russian down there that you just think is half Alberta in the making.
Yeah. Korshkov, he's a lock.
Yeah,
Shashnikov for a while.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
What was there another guy? We used to butcher his name, or we used to have a debate of Timonov.
Timashov.
Shashnikov.
Shashnikov went to St. Louis, and they flushed him out away.
Yeah, he didn't make it. Hey, it happens. What are you going to do?
Exactly. You move on.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I wish I didn't, but I think I do.
We do.
Horny for one more hot take. Let's hear from Jerry.
John Daly makes the cut in his golf cart. Jerry will be riding shotgun with JD in New York at Bethpage Black.
John Daly makes the cut in his golf cart.
I hope he
does.
You
want him to win.
I think it would be the biggest story in golf history. Bigger than Tiger at the Masters a month ago. If Daly wins a major in his 50s driving a cart.
Do you remember how nuts the fans were going his first major when he's going down the fairway with his mustache?
I need to see that again.
But in
only
a cart,
he's driving high-fiving people driving down the cart. Yeah.
Side to side on the fairway on the cart to get both fans high fives.
Players on tour will go nuts if he makes the cut. Yeah. Because they'll say, dude, you shouldn't even be playing. Like, they don't. We had Noah Begay on at 4:30. He was disgusted.
You could tell.
He was ill.
Yeah.
The idea that John Daly is driving around in a cart, but he ain't making the cut. 5%.
I'm giving him 20. The cart, save energy. He'll have an ashtray in there.
Yeah, I'm 2% that he is. I think he's trunk slamming on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, we're starting that tomorrow, the Overdrive Trunk Slammers.
Yeah, we're going to get a good look at that leaderboard in about 5:45. We are going to see who is jumping in the Wearsie-mobile.
The Wearsie-mobile.
Predicting.
We can't call it the Wearsie-mobile. That's not right. That's a Canadian golf icon.
Right, it's a legend. Yeah.
Whoever has the worst score is the driver of the vehicle.
So the Affy Barn Rat.
So it's going to be.
Slamming.
It's going to be.
Whoever has the worst score. Okay. It's Dustin Johnson. It's the Dustin Johnson mobile.
Yeah, that'll never be the case, though. It'll be a chop.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be the club pros.
Yeah, it'll be some guy from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Anyway.
He's just happy to be there.
Happy to be there. Treating it like a game seven. Trunk slamming like a game seven. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over the number in the Sox-Rockies game tonight. Under in the Dodgers-Padres game. And I'm on the Blues tonight back home. I think the Blues feel good about them in this series. Throw down 20 and you can win a lot of money. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Game three tonight. We'll see. Game one tonight, Raps Bucks. It's going to be a fun night tonight. And
I think it'll be some good TV. You're going to get good hockey. You're going to get good
basketball. I think it's a massive game for the Raps. I mean, you go in and steal game one on the road.
Yeah, you could set the tone.
Big time.
Right away.
You know, you said it earlier. They've got to win at least once in the building.
Have to win one.
They have to. Minimum one. Probably two. I think this is going six or seven, so you probably got to win two in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Remember to head over to the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. So game one, Raps, Bucks tonight. Game three, Blues, Sharks tonight.
Yeah.
Lots going on. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.